The reading for today is from 2 Samuel 11, verse 26 through 12, chapter 12, verses 10 and 13 and 14. When Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. After the time of mourning was over, David had her brought to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing David had done displeased the Lord. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, "There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him." David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you, and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own." Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan replied, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. But because by doing this you have made the enemies of the Lord show utter contempt, the son born to you will die." This is the word of the Lord.
The story of David and Bathsheba is a very unique one. There's so many different things that go on in this story of David at this point in his life there that we could talk about, quite honestly. And even within this reading today, there's the issue of it, in parable form, the stealing of the lambs as he took this bride that was not his to take, Bathsheba. Really what the overall arching understanding that we need to have here is that even the great confessors of the church, the defenders of the faith, if you will, from days of Scripture, they were many of the times more like zeros than heroes. These guys got it wrong too. They failed. They were no better nor worse than anyone else here. We are just as faithful and fail as miserably as they did, but we don't hold up all those people of the Scriptures as saints, because if we do that, we're holding up ourselves too, because we're just as much a saint as they are. They failed, and they showed that they were not as faithful to God as they desired. It's the same thing that happens in our life. We fail, and we're no better or worse than those that have gone before us, or those that will come after us. Nathan tells David this parable so that David can see the wickedness that has overtaken his faithfulness, so that David can understand that you've made a pledge to God and you've been faithful, but now look what you've done, and look how you've strayed from God's word. And if you will, out of his own declaration, the words are true of what would happen for David. You know, whoever this person is needs to die. Well, guess what? David was going to die too, from his sins, just like everyone else. Wages of sin are death. But that's what happens in our life. We can be going along and very faithful to God in so many ways, in our pledges and our promises and our reaching out to others and our words and our actions, and then all of a sudden temptation rears its ugly head, and for some reason we depart from our pledges of faithfulness to God, and we follow this sin. It's alluring, it's attractive, it's defining us, and it takes us away from God. And then we end up thinking a little too highly of ourselves because we believe we can go this way and handle these things and do these things, even though they go against God's plan and God's desire. When we get to Mother's Day and to Father's Day, these are good places for us to use such examples about where we are and how we got to where we are, and our faith passed along, the legacy of our faith given to others. There aren't a whole lot of cards, greeting cards out there that cover this topic real well, in my opinion. I don't know how you are about shopping for cards, but when I go out and I shop for a card, it doesn't matter what the event is, the occasion is. It has to say exactly what I would say, or I will not buy it. I mean, it doesn't have to be, in a sense, you know, all the things that I would say, but it can't contain something in it that goes against the way my thinking is on this issue. Like for Mother's Day, it can't say certain things that didn't happen in my relationship with my mother and I. It can only go to a certain point. So that really, I'm better off with the blank inside cards, you know. Then I can just put down what I want. But you do have to, if you buy the blank inside cards, do write something in them before you give them to somebody. You know, that's nice too. But with the other cards, I mean, it's much better to do something like that than the way I would have to. You know, here's a Mother's Day card or here's a birthday card, and you've taken a black marker and lined out certain things in the card. You know, you don't want to do that. Trust me, I found out that's not a good idea. But as we're looking around us, we realize we are all saints and we're all sinners. We all fall in that same place. David is the pattern that we follow at times. We want to follow Jesus, but we don't always do that. We forget our place before God and our place in His creation. We forget that He made us a little higher than the angels, just like Jesus. We are children of God that were created with His own breath within us. Nothing else in all creation got that. We're told about everything else that was made. God formed us, Adam and Eve, out of His own hands. Didn't just speak us into being, formed us and breathed His Spirit into Adam. He's the one who did that. He breathed His Spirit, and that Spirit is given to us. It's passed along to us. We have that Spirit of God within us. The only thing in all of God's creation that has that Spirit is His creation of people. And we're blessed by that. And still, we forget our place. We look at what we've done, what we've accomplished. Look at the works of my hands. Look at how I've succeeded. And in this, it becomes about ourselves, what we do, our success. We forget that God gave us the ability to succeed. God is the one who has given us the gifts we have used to succeed. God is the one who has been there with us all along so that we could accomplish these things. It's not that we've done it by ourselves. There was a fellow who talked about himself constantly. You may know someone like that. Every story you have, they have a story that relates to something in their life. No matter what you say, they can bring it back to something about them. Something that deals with their beliefs, their opinions. It doesn't matter. You're starting to talk about something, and you take a breath, and boom, they're off for the next 10 minutes. And maybe in 10 minutes you get a chance to say another couple words, but that's not going to last long either. That's the way this guy was. He was a terrible bore. He was a self-promoter, and he was constantly referring to himself as a self-made man. And there was one other fellow that was there with his son, and his son looked at his dad and said, "Dad, if he's a self-made man, why did he make himself like that?" Which is true. How many of us could that be said about, though? Why have you made yourself like you are? Why aren't you more faithful? Why aren't you more serving? Why aren't you more committed to the Word of God? Deuteronomy chapter 8 has these words. "When you eat and are satisfied, when you find houses and settle down, when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God." we are a people who are so much about self that we forget that even the bread that we eat and this broom that we sweep our house with and the house that we have and the car that we drive, all of these things are from God, because God has given us the gifts and the talents to be able to succeed. If we believe ourselves to be self-made, then when you come together to worship, who is it you're worshiping? Because it can't be God. God is the one who has given us the real success, though. We did not do it on our own. God is the one who has blessed us, and with us all Christians in the world. And for those who are not, the opportunity to reach out to them that they might become Christians and brothers and sisters in Christ. We were made in God's image and born again in Christ in the waters of baptism. We come to Him again. God made us who we are and created us for what we have become or for what we might still yet become. Someone once said that there's no such thing as a self-made man. We're made up by thousands of others. And there's a lot of truth in that idea, because everyone that's ever done a kind deed, spoken a good word, shared something with us, taught us something, that's who have helped make us into what we are. Now, the problem is, along with all those good things, there are those that have negatively influenced us as well. Those people that have said the bad things, done the bad things, involved us in some of the bad things, that's part of who we are and what we are at this point in our life. So if we're going to look for success, we perhaps need to get away from being self-made or made up by these thousands of others and instead get a makeover and be remade in Christ again. We have that opportunity. In the waters of baptism, we get a makeover. In our confession, every Sunday that you speak that confession and hear that absolution, we get a makeover. Through the bread and wine of communion, when we come up here and we receive this forgiveness of sins, we're pledging that we're going to try and be better than we have been, leave those sins behind and change our life from this point on. We get a makeover. We can get it every single day, and we need it every single day because we sin every single day. And so we confess to God, don't just wait for that Sunday morning makeover. Take your sins to Christ daily and recognize that He gives us the forgiveness of sins and the opportunity to change our life. We're called to live not for self any longer, but to live for Christ, to live in Christ, to live with Christ. And through that, then, we will live for others. God is making you anew. Max Lucado, he once said, God loves you just the way you are, but He loves you too much to leave you that way. I've always liked that saying. I had back in high school days, I remember a t-shirt that I wore that said, I'm okay, God doesn't make junk. Same kind of thought. God is with us and He makes us into what we are and what we can become. He brings us the forgiveness of sins and He wants to create us anew in His image over again, to give us that forgiveness and to give us the opportunity to start fresh with this moment and be a better child of God than we have been, to rely more fully on God. You were not self-made, you were God-made. You're not expected to rely on yourself, you're expected to rely on God. And in that, to live for God, to love God, to know that we were created by God not for selfish purposes, but for the purposes of blessing others in our life, for sharing with them. You were made by God to live in Him, and to God be the glory that this is true. To God be the glory for me and for you, that we were not selfishly made, but honorably made and created by the Father, so that we could be redeemed by the Son and one day live forever with Him by the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives every day. In Jesus' name, Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, minds, and lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.